See how fast we can go. This meeting's being recorded.
Yes.
I'm going to see you tomorrow, but fortunately, Rabbi Shulman is out of the country. He's in Israel.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to disagree with Rabbi Shulman.
You're going to disagree with him?
Yes.
About what?
And my understanding of Shmuel Bet Perachet.
Oh. When he's not there.
He is not there. So I will not have to justify myself, but this will be recorded here. So we're gonna look at Parshat Balak and Bilam. And after he gives his bracha three times, he wants to curse, he can't, Hashem says give bracha, he gives a final prophecy about the end of day. Okay, it says Bata Neolech Lami. And lo, now I'm returning back to my people. Let me give you advice. I'm going to tell you what this nation is going to do to yours. The end of days, right? It's eschatological. You know that term?
Yeah, only from you.
There you go.
The end of days.
Yes. The end of history. I see it, but it's not now. I have a vision, but it's not anytime close. The Rach Kochav Yaakov, a star shoots from Jacob, Kamshev Yisrael, and a scepter from Israel, Machatz Pat'e Moav, and will crush the borders, the peyot, cut off his borders, his peyos. Machatz Pat'e Moav will crush the borders of Moab, a karkar kol b'nei sheit, and will literally chill all of humanity, the sons of sheit, the son of
Adam.
But yeah, Edom Yerasha, and then Edom will be laid waste. But yeah, Yerasha, Seir Oivav, and Seir, his enemy, will be laid waste. Israel is a chayal. Israel will do great things. Yer Me'akov, and one will come out of Yaakov, Hevid Sarvid Meir, and will remove and will destroy the remnant of the city. That's the prophecy. Okay, and as I always thought, it's interesting that Bilam is actually archaeological evidence. There's an inscription in Jordan that is all about Bilam, son of Beor.
Whoa.
They found this chamber that was destroyed by an earthquake, and it's all about Bilam, who's the son of Beor, who's a seer, and he gives all these prophecies about what's going to happen. So he's a real character.
That's really cool.
That is cool. You can go look up the Deir Allah inscription.
All right. Not that I should have doubted the rest of Torah just because you don't have archaeological evidence, but it's cool to see it.
It's actually his name, right? So, so
Deir,
D-E-I-R-A-L-L-A. So I'm Bilam, son of Beor, mentioned by name. So he's got lots of, right? That's what the text says. He was a well-known prophet. He gave all sorts
of,
right? He was there. So the question is why you put him in the Torah. Okay,
right.
And Gemara Baba Bash is specifically talking about the Torah says Moshe Katav Sifro Parshat Bilam Ve'Iyov. Moshe Sifro, his Sefer, Bilam, the story of Bilam, and the book of Iyov.
To separate it.
Right. And we've talked about this before that Sifro generally is assumed to mean Devarim. In other words, this is not talking about the Torah. Moshe didn't write the Torah, that was dictated by Hashem. That Devarim was his own words that Hashem said incorporate into the Torah.
Mm.
Different sefer. Okay. And Bilam is also something different. Right? Bilam was an expression of Moshe's Nevuah that Hashem said, well, now you should incorporate this into the Torah. And a lot of different explanations of this. This is the way the Shalah puts it. Makatub Katav Sifro Parshat Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom. He Sig Mashi Sig Bilam. That he, Moshe, had the vision that Bilam had. Okay.
The specific vision about
Bilam had his nevuas, and Moshe also had that as his own nevuah. B'inyan nevuah al hatid Yisrael v'chol brachot. Ruya hayta parsha lozel yumar Moshe. And Moshe should have simply given, told that to Bnei Yisrael. Ma tavolach Yisrael. B'li emtsa'im emtsa'it Bilam. That should have been underlined here. I know I didn't. But it was said in the name of Bilam in order to tell us that Hashem actually saved us. That, here's this famous magician, cursor, prophet who actually wanted to say bad things about Bnei Israel, but Hashem said, no, you can't. So we
In last week's Parsha with the, what was the mountains that squeezed together?
Oh, right. They had the Shirat Be'er.
Why do we have to know about, why do we have to know what happened with, was that Moab? Was it Sihon or who was that?
That was as they went past the Emori on the Nahal Arnon.
Yeah. The same thing. It's showing us the miracles.
Right. So that's what he says. So yes, these brachot are worth telling Bnei Israel, and we're specifically going to say this was Bilam who said them, even though in this case it was Moshe who had this vision with Hashem saying, oh, by the way, this is the thing that guy said. And that's why Moshe sums it up in Devarim. V'lo ava Hashem Elokecha l'shmo l'Bilam. God would not listen to Bilam. V'epoch Hashem Elokecha et aklalo bracha. Explicitly turned Bilam's curse into bracha. Kiev Hashem Elokecha. And the Mishnah says, v'kach nikta v'parcha Bilam. L'odia, that's why Bilam was written. L'odia ma'a silek ha-kodesh baruch hu et ruach kodesh me'uma ta'olam. That's what Hashem took gave the Ruach HaKodesh to the nations of the world and then took it away because Bilam had this Ruach HaKodesh, had this power to go, and look what he did with it. He became a professional cursor. So that's the bracha. So why put this Acharit Yamim in there? So what does Acharit Yamim mean? Right,
the end of days.
The end of, right. I'd like to call it the end of history from Fugiyama's essay.
Oh, right.
That the idea that history is this clash of civilizations, and at some point it ends, and we've all achieved this common purpose and common theme. He said that when the Soviet Union fell, then they were done. But clearly, there's more history happening, a sense of big things. The end of history doesn't mean that people won't live lives. It's just that big, important ideas are no longer clashing, right? And that's Ramban looking in Bereshit when Yaakov tells his children, I'm going to tell you what's happening in Acharit Yamim, so that Yimot Mashiach, that's what we call it. That's what he says, that Yimot Mashiach at the end. Rabbi Shulman always says, Acharit Yamim doesn't mean end of days in any sense, it just means later.
Yeah, that's it, because Rav Maidan talks about that, I think.
Yes, very much this Rabbi Maidan thing. I always disagree. I think it always is eschatological, but the Netziv strikingly agrees with Rabbi Shulman, or vice versa. Okay, this is the Netziv.
Okay, I'm just looking outside. There's another big thunderstorm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're okay.
I'll be okay. I'm listening. I'm learning to
talk. Acharit Yamim, it's Rotzeh Lomar, Acharit Tekufa Shemabah. Acharit Yamim means at the end of the current era. Not just in future, Chaya Ad Chaye David. That's all looking at Yaakov is going to go to the time of David, establishing the Jewish monarchy. Moshe Nivel Yisrael, Brachato Yimei Chata Amad Sofi Mei Abayit, and then the Tochacha, Moshe's Nivua goes to the end of the Churban. And that you only have Nivua about what we call Mashiach is in the later Nevi'im. But Acharit Yamim doesn't go to the end of history. There's more there. And the way the Netziv says that our vision, that's when Bilam is talking about Acharit Yamim, he's basically talking about David. This is not the end of history. This is that first king. And that's Bilam's reassurance to Moab that you don't have anything to worry about. These people are not going to attack you. They're going to go right past you. They'll go into the land of Canaan. They'll attack those nations, but no one's going to do anything to you until the time of David. You're right. B'chaz patei Yaakov. So that's the Emek Dabar here. Perish Acharit Yamim. Eino Acharit Yamim Yemot Olam. Doesn't mean the end of the days of history. Okay, as Rabbi Shulman put it. El Tekufa Shut Medbat. The end of this period of time of Bnei Israel entering Eretz Israel.
Oh,
should I say, bro? Yet David until they enter. And they enter Eretz Israel, they establish their monarchy, and then they will attack. But exactly, it's been another 400 years. Similarly, and see what we said in Bereshit, of Ata in the Chalachush, now you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear from them. That's a reassurance. Okay? Then the Netziv cites the Rambam. Rambam basically says that this prophecy here of Erin of Ata is in two parts.
Oh.
There's the David part, and then there is the real, the eschatological, the real end of history. There's the Mashiach there. Okay, this is the way the Rambam puts it. And Hilchot Melachim, about Mashiach. Ah, Parshat Bilam, Ne'amar. Like this, Parshat Bilam talks about Mashiach. V'sham niva b'shneam Mashiachim. Talks about both Mashiach, anointed ones. Mashiach Rishon, Shu David, Shoshia Yisrael Miyatzarehem, Mashiach Aron, She'emad B'manav. It was David who started the process of making Israel independent, and then the final Mashiach, the one we talk about, Yimot Mashiach, right? Mashiach's coming. So Mashiach Israel miad b'nei Esav, that will come to save us from the hands of Esav. So he says, Arenu v'lo ata is David, Asher, right? I see it, but it's not now. It's David, Asherenu v'lo karov, zem melech Mashiach, I have a vision of it, it's not near, that's even further away than David, that's Mashiach. Barach kochav miyakov, zem David, kam shev Israel zem melech Mashiach. That's where the Rambam.
Oh, interesting.
That's where, that's, and then to see if it approves of this. Machatz patei Moav, zem David, you know, crushes the borders of Moab is David. And Kohen Omer, we see that in Perichet of Shmuel Bet, Vayachem Moav, Vayamidei Bechevel, that he attacked Moab and measured them out with a line. We'll look at those psukim. And then Karkar Kol B'nei Shet, all of humanity, is the Melech Mashiach. David didn't do that, all of humanity. As it says, Mashlu Miyam Ad Yam, that's the Mashiach, you know, in Zechariah, this future Mashiach. Haya Edom Yerisha is David. Right, Edom will be laid waste as David, because we'll see that Vayikol Edom Oavadim David. David conquered Edom. Then Yerusha Seir Oivav, that Seir will be laid waste. The Machmashiach, as it says, Alumu Shem Hartzion Lishpar Har Esav. That's the Seir in the future. So we have this post. So this bit in the, you know, so in our times we have this vision. It's half fulfilled and half not. The question is, what do we do with this? Right, why is it in there? Right, Moshe is given this prophecy. He's told to include in the Torah. I think the answer is just to give us, you know, why we have these visions. And Moshe has to give us hope. We may be downtrodden, we're oppressed, but still there's a kind of, will come a time of Kam Shevet Mishrael, Dach Kohav Yaakov. And the fact that Bilam says this, the non-Jews believe this, is reassuring. That's a good thing to know that. This is coming. Right, Ani Mami Bemuna Shalema. But there's a danger. Having this nevuah in front of us. So I want to look at Shmuel Bet Perachat. This is when David conquers Moab. Right? He fulfills this nevuah here. Machatz Patei Moab. And this starts out by He Achrei Chet. It was after this. The after this is when David says, it's time I should build the Beit HaMikdash. And nothing tells him, no, you can't. Your son will build the Beit HaMikdash. That's Perek Zion. The Perek Bav Zion is when he dives to Hashem. So Perekhead is Achrei Chen. After this, Vayach David Plishtim, Vayach Mam. David takes, attacks the Plishtim and subdues them. Vayach David Metak Haman. David takes their capital city from the Plishtim. One puzzle. Vayach Moav, and he attacked Moav. Vamidem Bechavel, he measures.
Oh, them. Hey.
As you said, right? This is a puzzle.
Yeah.
This is it inside. And then after Plishtim comes Moab, by Medem Bechevel, and measures them out with a line, with a surveyor's line. Hashkevo Tam Arza made them, through the Moabite army, lie down. Umadet Shnechabalim Lamit, and the ones who were on the two chains worth were killed. Maleachevel Hayot, and one of Chainworth was left to live. Kills 2/3.
Chainworth?
Oh. A chain, like a surveyor's chain. That's a chevel.
What does it look like?
Like a long chain that you measure how far distances are.
Like a measuring, like a tape measure?
A measuring tape.
So why did he do that?
Well, to kill 2/3 of them. And yeah. You lay down, and if you're on the first, you know, he measures one out, and okay, this is the kill. Next one, they're all killed, cut off their heads. Next one, you guys live. And Moab was left offering tribute to David. And then Vayach David had Ezer ben Rachav Melch Tzova, and then David heads north and attacks the king of Tova in Aram, Belachtola Shiv Yadob and Harprat, it goes all the way to the Euphrates. Conquers what's called in the Gemara Syria, which now is Syria, basically, Syria and Lebanon, just north. And then Vayasem Adam Nitzvim, Bechol Adam Sham Nitzvim, by you call Adam Avedim David. And then he quotes that he goes south and he conquers Edom, and all Edom are servants of David, but Hashem David, Bechol Shalach, and Hashem saves David. Everything he does. And David is king, and David is doing justice and righteousness for all his people. And that's the summation, that's the end of Sefer Shmuel, except all the rest of the chapters are all about Bathsheba and everything else. So Sefer Shmuel should end there.
Okay.
Conquers this land, and I love the line from God Knows, from Joseph Heller.
What is that?
That's a parody. It's a novel. It's very funny. It's highly inappropriate. Novel based on David and Shlomo. It's about the life of David, taken from Sefer Shmuel and Melachim. And this is the way he quotes David as saying, I was proud of the Pika, for I'd taken a kingdom the size of Vermont and created an empire as large as the state of Maine.
Yay!
Rabbi Shulman reads this parak as being wonderful. These are battles that will come up later in Perek Yud, you can see what they're. There were defensive wars that basically the other nations attacked, and David defends himself and culminates in victories that allowed him to extend his influence, and it's a description of the glory of David's empire. But I read it very darkly. These are bad
things. These are what?
These are bad things. This is a Milchemet Rishut. David is intentionally going out to attack all these nations, right? They're not defensive. He is intentionally trying to create an empire.
Oh.
Okay? This is the way that's Rashi in quotes in Divrei HaYamim, the equivalent in Divrei HaYamim, Vayachrechen, Vayach David, right? When after this, David goes and attacks. Because the commentary that's printed in the Mikra Gedolot is really bad out there. That's printed in the Mikra Gedolot under the name of Rashi wasn't actually written by Rashi.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it written by?
Nobody's quite sure. But I mean, you can read the art scroll, Divrei Yamin.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It's not really Rashi.
Yeah, it's pretty clear because there are various quotations of Rashi and Divrei Yamin. It's not the same thing. And he contradicts what Rashi says elsewhere. Like I said, if art scroll says it, then I know it's okay to say that.
But it's not really Rashi. Yeah, I'm still there.
So you read the anyway, but this is the commentary. That after this, David attacked, attacks Moab, attacks Aram, attacks Edom. Achashe Amar David Livnotabait. Yachrechen means after David decides he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash. But Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Tivne Ata, he says, you're not building it. Amar David, it says, Hoil the Ein Alai Livnotabait El Bini, that I'm not going to build this Beit HaMikdash, which is my goal. Achachat Medeshem, Shibzi Beit HaShem, right? That's what you want. El Bini is my son.
Right.
Now I'm going to get ready and I will put everything together. Right? Everything. So when my son comes to build the Beit HaMikdash, everything will be prepared. I will leave everything that I've been doing so far. So now he's going to tell us a story how he prepared the Beit HaMikdash. Because he went to war with his enemies, like this shalom the binyan hamikdash, and went in order to get the spoils to build the Beit HaMikdash. How do you make more money? This is before capitalism was invented. You make money by taking away from other people. He's going to go intentionally. That's what the parak says, that he go take all his money, dedicates it to the Beit HaMikdash, to the future building of the Beit HaMikdash. He attacks, please, he attacks Moab in order to take everything they have. And the Malbim is even stronger. Right? The Navi tells him he's not going to build a Mikdash. That his enemies will still not destroy before him. So David sees. David concluded that obviously God does not want me to stop fighting wars. So obviously, if I'm not supposed to, I'm not building the Beit Hamikdash, what am I going to do? I better go to war.
But if it's a Muhammad mitzvah, that's not. Oh no, Muhammad Rashut.
This is a Muhammad Rashut, right? When the whole halakha is a Muhammad Rashut, we're talking about these wars here. That is the one who goes on.
But is that bad if he's supposed to do that?
All right, that's what I'm saying, is that he's supposed to? Because he doesn't have, never has a command to do that. Right? You may ask God about the, how to go to war. There's no mitzvah to go to war. That's an Itziv's point about this, right? This is story 16. This is talking about this. There are kochav miyakov. Who is this kochav who literally is a shooting star who blazes his own path? Is it David? Derech asalo, derech b'fnei asma. He had a new path because it was different. Mechamot David haya hakol shelo b'derech nes. This was no longer, there are no miracles here. He b'kibbutz giborim v'ezra Hashem. That Hashem helped them, yes, but they were still done by force of war. That's derech kochav. This is a new way. These are more for real world battles here. What happens again? The war, the Plishtim, Moab, Aram, and Edom, but it wasn't all glorious victory. There's an astounding Perek Tehillim, Perek Samach.
Okay.
Now, like I've said beforehand, there's a Perek Tehillim that's about the war in Aram, Perek Samach. It's all about God's miracles. Like God does miracles. It's Har Gavnim, Har Bashan. Okay, the comparing it to Har Sinai, that the miracles in this war were like the revelation at Sinai. This was wonderful that they won an Aram, they conquered this huge territory up to the Euphrates. God's on our side. Edom is different, right? This is Lam Ratzeach al Shoshani Dut, Mechtam David Lomod. This was a Mechtam, I translate blood state. It's a lesson, Lomod. There's a lesson here. Batzato et Anam Narayim. When he went out against Aram, that Aram Sova, when he conquered Aram Sova, and then by Yashav Yoav, then Yoav went back by Yachet Edom and attacked Edom, the Gay Melach, in the valley, in the Salt Valley, right, around the Dead Sea. That's where Edom is in the south. Shneimasar Elf, there were 12,000. That explanation, but the Perek is all about Elohim Zenachtanu. God, you've abandoned
us. Oh, you've abandoned us. Oh.
Right, Paratz Tana, you've broken us. Anakta. To Lanu, your anger has settled on us. You shot the Eretz. You made the land quake, which in Pilim Semchet is about our enemies destroyed when Hashem made the Eretz quake. Here it's Patsamta. You made us fall. Rafa Shivarea Kimata. You broke us and pushed us down. Reta Amcha Kasha. You've shown us your harshness. Yishkitenu Yam Tarela. You've made us drink the waters of the poison wine. It's all about Hashem is punishing us here when he goes to war in Edom. When the Targum reads this, that Vayashav Yoav, Vayachet Edom, that Yoav, who is David's general, returned and attacked Edom. Shneima said, what's the 12,000? This is the Targum on that. Takanish David mi Sirion. When David returned from Syria, Bavara Igar Saduta went past the Igar Saduta is Gilead. That was the Aramaic when Laban and Yaakov make a treaty.
Oh.
It turns to Igar Saduta. So they go back, they're coming south, they're going through the Gilead. But Igach im Aram, and the battle with Aram there, the Yam Sova, right? And then afterwards, Tav Yoav, Yoav went back, Umachayat Adumai. And he fought with Edom, B'mishur Melcha, in the Valley of Salt. The Nachum Mecheilehon de David Yoav, and the army of David and Yoav fell. Teresa Alvin, 12,000.
Oh, so that's what it doesn't mean. Yoav, it doesn't mean Yoav, Yoav, B'yachat Edom, B'gai Melach, Shemasar Elef, is them.
Is them. 12,000 Israelite soldiers died in that first battle.
Oh.
They will eventually win, but they lose badly, okay? But when they fight against the Plishtim, Moab, Aram, they all win. Israel lost in the Battle of Edom. Okay, I concord. The war Aram is like 67. It was miraculous that he created this huge territory. Edom is 73. Where they lose, and actually look at the Perek Tehillim, it implies that the Edomites actually invaded Eretz Yisrael. Didn't have a lot of that. Okay, so Israel survives that, but they respond with this shocking brutality. This is in Malachim. And it was when David conquered Edom. When Yoav went before the Chalim to bury the dead, and he killed all the men in Edom. Because Yoav spent 6 months in Edom with all the Israelites, wiping out all the men in Edom. This is brutal, right? So Rabbi Shimon says, no, David wouldn't do that, right? He's not the sort of thing to do that. I think you're...
What did he say? What did David do then?
Right. He said, well, it just refers to the army. He kind of justified. I'm going to say this, you know, we're not pulling punches. This is nach. This is a criticism here.
What did the Mefarshim say on it?
We'll have to see how they look at what happens here. The Yerushalmi says that it says that when you add up the numbers, there's like 6 months missing from David's malchut. It says he was 7.5 years king in Hebron, 33 years in Yerushalayim, adding up to 40 years. What about the half year, the 6 months? The one answer, Pshat, it's just rounded off. Another answer is that when he was on the run from Absalom, that didn't count, right?
Oh,
okay. He wasn't king then. And the other answer is that those 6 months that when Yoav was killing in Edom, that doesn't count for David's malchut.
Because that wasn't a melech thing. That was not right.
That was the wrong thing to do. So what I think is going on is that we're going to be in the Parsha heroes, right? Derach Kochav Yaakov, become Shevet Yisrael. As seeing that David is fulfilling it, but I think David also knows about this nevuah, right? This is written in the Torah.
Right.
He's seeing he's fulfilling part of it, and he doesn't say, "Oh, well, I will fulfill part of it, and the rest of it is for, you know, future Achrid Yamim Mashiach." I am the Mashiach, right? I am the Melech, and I will fulfill this prophecy. There's no reason it should take 3,000 years. I think he's trying to fulfill it. He sees this, and this is clearly, I am here. I am fulfilling it, just like you see with the Beit HaMikdash. Clearly, I am fulfilling the conditions here. I am going to make this happen.
Oh, and that's Vayachko Zachar.
Machat, right. He's going to wipe out Edom Yeresha. I'm going to wipe them out. And that's why he's going out and conquering all these other nations there, because he's fulfilling the terms of the Nevuah. He crushes the boundaries of Moab. David, he conquered all the boundaries of Moab. Edom midarom, Amon aram mitzafon. All these nations are around Moab. Certainly Moab itself is conquered. Elanasa Moab kan merkaz shel nevuah, but here. Moab is the center of this nevuah, because that's what Bilam is talking to the king of Moab. But David's not looking at it as I'm conquering the boundaries of Moab. He's saying I'm conquering the boundaries of Eretz Israel, because the nevuah that's coming later is nevuah to Yaakov. Your children will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out west, east, north, south. West is Plishtim, east is Moab, north is Aram, south is Edom. In that order. And that's where David is going. So that's the way the Sforna puts it. Once you're numerous as the dust, then you'll spread out. As it said, that's the fulfillment. This nevuah is spreading north, south, west, east, north, south. I think that's where David fails. Okay? He is trying to immanentize the eschaton.
Oh, great. You just did this whole year just so you could say that phrase.
I love that phrase.
Immanentizing the eschaton.
Right? Immanentizing the eschaton, right? That's the way you put it is don't immanentize the eschaton as a lesson. Your job is not to make the nevuah come true. You have mitzvot, that's what you're supposed to do. Hashem in charge of making sure the nevuah happens. You got to fulfill the
nevuah. What I was admit, me. Mekarev et haketz. Where does that come from? That's
imminentizing the eschaton. That's exactly
imminentizing the eschaton.
Right. Make imminent to make it real, to make it present in the world. Okay? You told me to try a place of God and bring about this final stage. Okay? So David learns the lesson. He goes through, and after this, the defeat in the Battle of Edom, we have the Vaimuch, David HaKol Yisrael, Vahid David Oseh Mishparot Shtakal HaChomo. That's what the Melech is supposed to do. And that will take care of everything else. And Gashem will take care of it. And so what happens? What happens to all that war and all that, all those spoils that he takes? That's very interesting, right? He's taken all the gold and silver from all the surrounding nations. He runs them. They're sending him mincha. Here's the way that when Shlomo finally builds the Beit Midash. Tashlam kol macha. All the work was finished. Asher asa melech Shlomo Beit Hashem. He built the house of God. And Shlomo brought all of everything that David had set aside, had sanctified, all the silver and the gold and all the vessels, Natan Bartzo Beit Hashem, put it in storehouses. He doesn't use it.
Oh, I thought Otsor Beit Hashem is just like he's saving it.
Yeah, he finishes the work of Beit Hamikdash.
Oh.
And then he takes all the stuff that David had and puts it away.
Oh.
Doesn't use it. Okay, this is, and Midrash and Chazal pointed this out, this is the way the Malbim puts it. Ulam, but Hakdoshet Asher Nidadev David, everything that David had set aside, had donated, some of Tam Bartzot Hashem, he put them into storage. Ki'ilu Hayazem Mechaven Mimeri Barach. Because see, that's what he intended to do. Right, that Shlomo gets his own money. Shlomo's money comes from trade, doesn't from conquest. That's a much better way of getting money.
Oh, because the stuff itself will be like violent.
You had to buy a BMA, but just like David couldn't build the Beit Midash, because of the blood that had been spilled, and we know that that's why David looked at himself. Shlomo did not want to build Beit Midash from the money, from that which had been taken in war.
Interesting. See, that's how we view war, Aaron.
Shlomo, who was a man of peace, and his money was taken with peace, and righteously, right? Who you've net to buy it? He's the one who built it. That's what he's going to do, right? He's not going to take it off. Okay, I'm going to summarize this that you can't sort of say, okay, I'm going to fulfill this. I'm bringing I am the Darach Kocha, therefore I will go to war and I will make all this happen. That's the Rambam. That's the Lolam Yotasek Adam Divrei Hagadot. You shouldn't spend all this time looking at all these Agadata, Loyaf Divrei Midrashot, Hamrup in Yanim Elu, talking about Yimar Mashiach. Kain Lo Yachshev Kitzia. Don't try to calculate the end. When's Mashiach come? Amr Chachamim, Tapuach Datan Shemachshevei Kitzim. That the mind of those who try to figure out when Mashiach come, try to bring Mashiach closer by, you know, fulfilling the conditions, not by doing the mitzvah, right? That you can bring Mashiach closer that way, but by saying, okay, this is what Mashiach can do, we're going to do this to fulfill this. Say, I am fulfilling this nevuah. That's the puach datan. They should go, their minds should explode. They're punish them. So don't immunitize the eschaton.
This is different. This is talking about trying to calculate it and saying, right. Oh, Mashiach, whereas opposed to like, are we not, is that true? We're not supposed to, like, I mean, not us, but like people in a position like David HaMelech are not, they're not supposed to try and.
So there are things they're supposed to do, but those are the mitzvot. You're not supposed to, because this is what Mashiach does, therefore I will do it. What HaMelech Yisrael is supposed to do. In other words, if you're going to build the Beit HaMikdash now, do because there's a mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash now and justify it that way.
So this is what Mashiach will be. This is.
Right. So we're going to make this happen because that's what Mashiach is going to do. That's
interesting, because there were times that people did try to make nevuahs come true or make dreams come true, like with Yosef.
Right, well, that's a huge problem. Like Ramban definitely says Yosef's trying to do it, and everyone else says, heck, you can't do that. You're not allowed to.
Right. Ramban is always, right. Okay.
Everyone yells at the Ramban for exactly that. You can't force it to happen. And David, generally, you know, when David gets anointed, he doesn't want to kill Saul, even though he knows that, well, I'm going to be king. I'm supposed to be king and all that. Right. He doesn't make it happen.
But here, I guess there was an error.
And I think this was an error on David's part.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I thought it was interesting. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing here. Ran through fast.